Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the A New Day Show. I am Dynamic Daphne, and I'm also the queen of the empowered soul, and I'm so excited that you took the time to be with us this morning. I am broadcasting out of New Milford this morning, and man, have I got an episode lined up for you. You need to just right now call everyone you know and direct their attention to the episodes this morning. We have two amazing guests for you. Our first guest this morning is going to be none other than Master Chef Adrian Miles out of the Hartford area. And I tell you, he is one of the best. So you just need to relax, get your water, put your feet up, get your notepad, because he is going to be taking you on a journey this morning. And our next guest will be Mrs. Kathy Holloway Hale. And Kathy has an amazing story. She's also the new author of Emotional Bailout. So we are going to be talking about that this morning. We are going to be also talking about how to design your life for the best success. So for the people in the chat room, I thank you for coming to spend time with us. And I want you all to let our guests feel welcome. So call in with your questions as usual. I'll take the questions as they arise. I don't wait for a special time. So when you have a question, if you type it in the chat room, or if you dial in and if you raise your hand, I'll take your question. So we are up for a real show. I want to remind you that the call-in number for the guests is 646-915-8166. Again, 646-915-8166. And now, without any further ado, let me welcome our esteemed, honored guest, Master Chef Adrian Miles. Adrian, good morning.
Good morning, Daphne, and thank you for that wonderful introduction, and thanks for having me on your show.
I tell you, I know I've had your cuisine several times, and I know that the guests are going to be drooling on. I think you'll have to expand your establishment because people are going to be traveling globally after we finish this show just to sample some of what you do. So I want to thank you, Adrian, for agreeing to come on the show because I know you're a very busy person. So I thank you for coming on.
Well, I always like to take time out, you know, to give back, and I like to take time out for people to also hear and know what's going on in the Miles Catering world. You know, we're always as good as our last meal, so we can never forget that. So thank you.
Exactly. Well, let us start at the beginning because it's always the best place to start because a lot of times you speak with different individuals and You hardly hear about the beginning, you know? And we want to start at the beginning. Let us start at the beginning of your life.
Well, the beginning for me started all the way in a little island, 166 square miles right there in the Eastern Caribbean, the beautiful island of Barbados.
Uh-huh.
That's where I was born and raised. That's where I studied food and nutrition as my major in high school. And there as well, that's where I learned the fundamentals of cooking.
Uh-huh.
Not only the fundamentals of cooking, but I also learned hospitality since Barbados. 85% of our economy comes from tourism, so hospitality
uh-huh.
was always within our genes.
Uh-huh.
There, I learned about hospitality. I learned from my mother, who cooked often. She baked. She's an awesome baker, very good cook, as well as my uncle. We own a restaurant there, Sylvester's Restaurant, and I learned
uh-huh.
a lot from there as well. So that was the foundation for me in my earlier years prior to relocating to the U.S.
Most West Indian men rarely are spoiled by the women in their lives, the grandmothers, the sisters, the wives, and all of that. So it's interesting, Adrian, to hear that way back in your tender years in the West Indies, you had a likeness and a love for food. Because I'm sure, and I don't say it in a mean way, but I'm Jamaican, but I know most West Indian men don't care for the kitchen much because they have us women who always cater to their women fancy. So I'm super excited and tickled this morning that you had that tender love from way back when.
Yes, I remember growing up in primary school. When I was around 10 years old, I had a teacher. His name was Mr. Trotman. And I remember Mr. Trotman telling us prior to us getting ready for what is known as the 11 plus exam,
mm-hmm.
the quicker in life we decide what we want to be, the faster in life we'll achieve it. Might not have been in those same very words, but the sentiments were exactly the same.
Exactly.
And I remember going home thinking, like, I really have to come up with a career choice. What do I want to be?
Right.
And from that age, I decided I wanted to be a chef. So my career path started to build its foundation from age 10 going on to 11. And
uh-huh.
then as I entered into high school, the first opportunity I got to change and decide what I want to be, I studied then food and nutrition as my career path.
Amazing, amazing. Because as you say, as you just mentioned what you said, Adrian, I was kind of visualizing back school in Jamaica. And back in the day, they weren't calling it, I go way back before you anyhow. They weren't calling it food and nutrition. It used to be home ec.
Home ec
would include the hospitality and all of that stuff. And boys always shy away from that because they say, oh, that's for the girls.
Right. In our class, we had, out of a class of 32 students in that home ec class, there were four boys. And
wonderful.
I happy to be one of them, and we got a lot of negative things said about us.
Mm-hmm.
However, when the cakes were baked and the chicken was fried and whatnot, we had a lot of friends.
Exactly. And I would love to say, I wonder where are those naysayers this morning.
Well, I've still remained in contact with those guys. They're still some of my good friends. There's one of them is in New York. Who is a creative director for a show. Another one is a firefighter, and one is a police lieutenant in Barbados. And
mm-hmm.
so they all went their different paths, but
yes.
I always remain within the hospitality industry, and I've always remained true to what my expectations were, and that was to become a chef.
That's right. You know, and I am so happy that you took the time to say that, Chef Miles, because people need to understand that when you have a passion, you just don't get up overnight. It's something that you nurture and mold during your entire lifetime. You know, your teacher, lucky for you, you had that instructor who helped you to realize, hey, I need to start now. And I need to be true to whatever it is that I am committed to doing. So that's an amazing story that you just said. So you continued all through high school and college.
Right. When I came to America, and that was back in 1989, I worked around the industry. My main goal back then was to pursue the career of being a chef. However, to try to focus on the whole hospitality industry as a whole, and hopefully with that experience, I could someday go back to Barbados and maybe run a hotel or something like that, because it was always within my blood to give back to my country, as well as stay true to food and nutrition and hospitality.
Uh-huh.
So coming here, I did a lot of jobs within the industry. I was a bartender for several years. I was a waiter. I was a maitre d'. So I worked front and back of the house, as referred to in the industry. And one day, as I relocated to New York, and one day while I was in New York, I decided, you know what, I really need to take this a step further. I really need to further my education. I really need to get something solid. And I remember flying down to Miami and signing up for Johnson & Wales University there and being accepted. But the process was so simple, and I remember coming back to New York and getting a letter saying, hey, you've been accepted into college. And I said, well, I thought getting into college was such a great big deal. This is too easy. Something is wrong. And there was a shoeshine guy. His name is Mr. Benjamin. And he was on the corner of 42nd and 9. That was two streets away from where I live. And I remember getting my shoes shined and telling him how excited I was that I was going to be moving out of town. We were going to go down to Miami. I was going to study at this Johnson & Wales University and so on. But to make a long story short, he said, you know, Adrian, there's a really good school upstate in Poughkeepsie. You should really check it out. And funny thing is that I was given I was given this advice from a shoe shine guy. And one of the things in the industry, when you make bad food, they say you're a shoemaker. So here I am taking this information from a shoeshine guy. But I went on the internet, looked up, saw this beautiful school, the Culinary Institute of America, took a trip up there, and before you know it, I was in school again. And this time I took that opportunity, and it was the best career move I've ever made in my life.
I'm telling you, because you know what? That same shoeshine guy, he can tell you who is the best cardiologist in town. He can tell you who is the best attorney, the best CPA, because he shines everybody's shoes.
Absolutely. And
he is a wealth of resource. So, you know, never look down on a person, because you never know where your next mastermind partner is going to come from.
Exactly.
That is such an amazing, amazing story. So you went to the Culinary of America Institute, and you graduated with flying colors.
I graduated with colors, and one of the things that was very interesting when I graduated from CIA is that I knew going in I was one of a kind, but I definitely knew coming out I was definitely one of a kind. I graduated with somewhere around 72 students, and I was probably within the top 10 of that graduating class. But when I looked around to see who were my peers, I know I was the only person I was one of three or four people of African American descent. And I was definitely one of two people who were from the English speaking Caribbean. So I knew very well, and even looking ahead of me at some of the other students that were going to graduate in months to come, and the other students, looking at the whole school in whole, I knew that I was going to be one of a kind, because there weren't a lot like me in school. So I graduated from there. I graduated with honors, and my career then started to blossom from there.
Amazing, amazing. Because the thing, when you went into CIA, you weren't going to learn; you were going to refine your craft.
Right. I was going to refine my culinary ability to get well rounded. And I know a lot of people are very true and very very loyal to their institutions wherever they learn and whatever they've learned. But I can definitely tell you that going to CIA, being at that time the only all-culinary school and being recognized as a top culinary school in the world, going to that school and graduating with a degree and mentioning that as I walk around the industry – every single door that I knocked on was open for me.
Oh, yes, yes.
So the world was my oyster, and I just needed to just pick one.
That's
and
right.
It set me up very well, you know, to be where I am now.
Exactly. What an amazing story. I want to take the time to just welcome guest 129, 30, 146, 161, 177, and 181. We thank you for joining us this morning. And you're listening to Master Chef Adrian Miles. And when you have a question, please feel free. If you need your voice to be heard, then you will need to dial in. And the number to do that is 646-915-8166. We welcome your comments and your remarks and your questions. Feel free to call at any time. Let's go back to Master Chef Adrian Miles out of the Hartford area. Now, even though, Adrian, that you have spent all this time in the industry and you are very committed to your craft, right? You know, I've seen your work. I've been to events that you have put together. And I remember the first time I came to one of your events and I asked Harlan Henry, who catered this? And he said, oh, you don't know Adrian? And he just went into the story to explain to me who Adrian was. And then with the biggest grin on his face, just to see that you were a black male and more so from the West Indies, where both Harlan and myself are from. So we take pride in your success. We just feel like we are mom and dad too, you know, because when you find somebody who really holds the banner of quality high in whatever they do, it makes everyone wants to be around them and so proud of what they do.
Right, and Harlan is a very good friend of mine. He's since then relocated to Florida, and he started his own small business there. But he was very instrumental in this Hartford regional area in keeping me connected with the community, and I'm very grateful for that. Before I go any further, I just want to say a thank you to some person who has been very instrumental in my life and in my career. His name is Uwe Toder, and he was the executive chef at the Hilton Hotel in New York. He was there for, I think, about 20 years.
Yes.
When he came to the CIA recruiting for students to come to do an internship with him at the Hilton in New York, I was the last person to run into that interview that day. And when he looked at my resume and realized I was from Barbados, he's a German man that did work in Barbados as well at the Hilton there, and now he was running the Hilton in New York. When he realized my background and we really connected, he said, Adrian, you're hired, without definitely saying I'm hired. But he took me under his wings, and he took me to the Hilton, and he really showed me all the different departments in that brigade system, and taught me very well a lot of what I show off today.
Beautiful.
And Chef Uwe, as I refer to him, he has had a very hard time over the last couple of years. He lost his daughter. She dropped dead on her 18th birthday. He just lost his wife maybe about 4 months ago to breast cancer. And also
our prayers go out to him.
Yes, and his position was then eliminated after so many years at the Hilton through the budget cuts and whatnot. But without him, I don't think I would be in this position today. So thanks, Chef, if you're listening.
Yes, yes. And a matter of fact, Harlan, I sent him an email to let him know you were going to be on the show, and I'm sure if his schedule allowed today, we are going to be hearing from him. So he knows you're going to be on the show. As a matter of fact, he was on, I think, last week or the week before. I had him on. He's such a dear person, and he's another person who really invests in all of, I might as well, it's good to say all of the nation's small business and entrepreneur people, because he's always giving so much and enhancing our lives. So he's another blessed person. Adrian, we only have 45 minutes, 41 minutes remaining in this segment with you. I know, even though you started way back when and you have done your best to do things by the book and do the right things, I'm sure you encountered some challenges as you look over your career.
Yes, there have been a lot of challenges on many different levels. You know, when you talk about being an entrepreneur or in being self-employed, that had its list of challenges. When you talk about going to the different job opportunities, you know, you're usually with my degree and my experience, you know, a lot of doors were open for me. So on that part, it wasn't as difficult as it could have been, considering that I had the education to back and the skill to back the different jobs that I went after. The challenge is really in trying to open up your own business. It's a lot more than most people would really expect. I know that a lot of people would always say, hey, listen, you know, as soon as I get some money or as soon as I win the lotto or whatever the case, maybe I'm going to open up a restaurant. You know, if you're going to open up a restaurant, you better marry the restaurant because that's where you're going to be all the time.
Exactly.
If you're going to, even if it's a coffee shop, I mean, 6 o'clock in the morning, you still have to be up making breakfast, and 9 o'clock in the evening, you still have to be making desserts. So it is challenging in a logistical way, and it's challenging as well even to have a family, you know, within an industry like ours. We're a lot of times we have to marry into the industry.
That's right.
A person who is very familiar with what we go through, because, you know, 15-hour days are usually a typical day. So the challenges are on many different levels. But without any struggle, there can't be any success.
That's
so
right.
With that, we have to keep pushing forward. Have a goal. Have you know, understand where you want to go, and there's no effort that is going to be too big in order to help you get to the other level.
That's right. You know, Adrian, you just say something that I share with people all the time, because being an entrepreneur myself, I can so relate to what you just said. Because oftentimes, people would call me and I would be in my office late, after hours doing something, and they would ask me, but why do you have to be in the office so late? And my reply to that question is always to ask them, I would name the positions I held, and I would ask them, when I used to work those jobs, what time was I at work? You know, have I ever done meetings on the weekends, on Saturdays? And they say yes. And I say, well, now that I'm an entrepreneur, why should I slack up? Because if I'm not committed to what I'm doing, you know, as an entrepreneur, you work from sunrise to sunset and after. You don't work 9 to 5. Because you have to be there to make sure everything is done the correct way. Not that you don't trust other people. Yes, you delegate, but you need to have the final say in what is being going out there to your customers and clients. So I agree 100% with what you have.
As a chef in our industry, we're always as good as our last meal.
Mm-hmm.
And I echo that often because it is very true. Even if you own a restaurant and someone comes by 10 times, you know, over a six-month period for dinner, and all those 10 times dinner is excellent, they came one time and maybe the steak is not cooked to the right temperature or the spinach is too salty, that's the meal that they're going to remember, you know.
Right.
So we're always as good as our last meal. So in our industry, we don't have an opportunity to make mistakes.
That's right.
You have to get it right the first time every time.
That's right.
You know, we have to deal with different palates, with different attitudes, with different,
mm-hmm.
different people, different walks of life, different experiences. But we, as in our culinary side, we have to always make sure we're as good as our last meal. And that's one of the things that we strive for quite often.
Yes, yes. So I commend you on that. You guys do a good job at that. And excuse me. I am so happy to see the high standard that you hold yourself to. And I know a lot of people who are listening to you this morning can really learn something out of that. Now, we know that you have a great establishment in Hartford and everything like that. What can we look for? Any expansion within the next maybe 5 years? Can other states look forward to having Adrian catering there? Adrian? Hello? I don't know. Oh, I think I lost him, and he's going to call back in. Yes, I was talking with Master Chef Adrian Miles from Miles Catering in Hartford, and he just got kicked off. I'm waiting on him to call back in. So in the meantime, for the listeners, if you have a question, you can call 646-915-8166. So, Adrian, go ahead and dial back in so we can continue our conversation. And you are listening to the A New Day Show with the Queen of the Empowered Soul. So, Adrian, please go ahead and dial back in. And at 11 a.m., we will be having as our guest, Mrs. Kathy Holloway Hill. And Kathy will be talking about her new book. Yes, Adrian just called back in. So we're excited. Adrian?
Yes,
Adrian?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, yo, the energy is so high, it kicks the system out. I was asking you that. What can we look for in the next 5 years? Can other states look for an Adrian catering? I mean, what's your goal for expansion?
Well, at this time, we do off-premise catering only, and we do catering. We concentrate on the geographical area, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New York.
Yes.
With that in mind, we've also done an event in L.A., I've done a wedding in Barbados. I'm actually going to Barbados at the end of the year again to do a 70th birthday party right after
Hi.
Christmas. So with our off-premise catering ability, we have the ability to go anywhere and set up shop. I'm working with a group.
Amazing. We have 32 minutes remaining, and I love to hear that because one of the other things I know you do for each holiday season is that you allow families to order their meals. So they don't only have to come to you to dine, but they can have the meals being delivered to their homes and all of that. So I know you really cater to pampering your clients.
Yes.
Okay, with that being said, that means wherever you are listening to Adrian from right now, and that next top event that you have coming up, you can have his offshore catering to do that for you. So, Adrian, why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners, please, how they can get in touch with you to discuss something like that?
Well, I'm very accessible on the Internet. Very nice website, milescatering.com. That's Miles with a Y, catering.com. All of my contact information is there. There's menus. There are pictures. I'm also on Facebook. I'm also on MySpace. I'm also on Twitter. You can always reach me through my website, and I can link you with all of those different addresses. However, in most cases, I use Chef Miles as my tag name on Twitter,
uh-huh.
on Facebook, on MySpace. You can always find me, you know, Googling the name Chef Miles, Miles with a Y. The way the process goes, you contact me, whether it's through a phone call, through an email. Let me know what you're interested in. We usually do. I will sit with you and put together a custom menu just to suit your budget, whatever you're looking for. Back and forth on our emails until we agree on a particular menu. We sign a contract and we go from there.
Amazing.
So we're accessible, and again, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New York. Me spending most of my adult life in America, in New York, I'm very fond of the whole New York area. So I love going back there to do events, whether it's a wedding on a rooftop or something for the Barbados Consulate, whatever the case may be. here in Connecticut. There's lots of beautiful venues, lots of beautiful areas we've worked at. So if you're looking for a venue, if you want to do something in your backyard, in your kitchen, we'll set up shop no matter where, and we'll make you feel as though it's definitely your evening.
All right.
Yeah.
So, hey, all you brides-to-be out there and groom, you all heard it from me.
Yeah.
All right. Amazing. Wonderful. Hey. Remember the number to call, please. Let me hear from somebody. Let us hear from somebody. 646-915-816. And I am in conversation with Master Chef Adrian Miles from the Hartford area and originally from Barbados. Well, I know you're always at the business, but I am sure you take a little time to have some fun. What do you do for fun?
Well,
why are you laughing?
Fun is my middle name. I really enjoy listening to music, reggae and soca all the way. A lot of times after a long day of working, whether it's whatever the event is, I like to end the day off with some music, whether it's going to one of the clubs or being at home with the family. But music is always a way of bringing me back to my center.
All right.
I love traveling. Any opportunity I get, you know, will take off. And I really enjoy family time. You know, I have a beautiful family. I have a lovely girlfriend, Michelle, beautiful children, Samantha, Amanda, Miles, Adriana, Chase. You know, anytime we can get together as a group and go away, we take advantage of that as well. So fun, I always put aside something for fun. I have two sets of energies I always talk about, an energy for work and an energy for play. And I could be tired from working all day, but as soon as work's over, it's a different energy. So I love to enjoy myself and get around.
And that's good, because that prevents you from being burnt out. Because a lot of people, you hear them use that word, especially business people and entrepreneurs, about being burnt out. And they are burnt out because they are not taking time to balance themselves. So all you people out there, listen and learn. And, you know, if you didn't get anything else out of our conversation this morning, take time for yourself.
I want to mention also to the listeners as well, and this becomes very, very popular around the holiday time. But one of the things that especially my closer friends would do, I would get a lot of phone calls. Miles, I'm in the kitchen. What should I do with this? And I find myself being that cook on the other line, walking some person through a meal. I got a phone call from my friend Maria recently, and her daughter was on the other line with spaghetti squash. She said, Adrian, I have this spaghetti squash. I don't know what to do with it. I've never cooked it before. So I walked her through a really nice recipe, some cooking techniques. I had her cook it, bake it in the oven with coconut milk and salt and pepper, and ginger. And I told her how to scrape it when you're done and what to mix it with and what to serve it with. And I find myself doing that a lot. My phone is always there for anyone. If you're stuck in the middle of a cooking something and you don't know where to turn from there, as long as I'm available, I'll take 5 minutes out to tell you what to do next.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And with that being said, Adrian, maybe sometimes you should set up some cooking classes so people can come and learn, you know, so they can go and do some of those things. Have you ever done that?
Yes, it's funny you mentioned that as well. We do some of the things we do are cooking classes, in-home cooking classes. You can gather up 10 of your friends or so. I'll come to the house. I either bring the groceries or we can go grocery shopping together if you want to add that experience as well.
Nice.
To your evening. And a lot of times, a lot of people don't know necessarily how to shop. When I shop in the grocery store, I typically shop on the outskirts of the grocery store. I spend very little amount of time going down the aisles. Down the aisles are always processed items. Around the outskirts of the grocery store, you'll find all the fresh products, all the produce.
That's right.
fish, the dairy, all of the fresh items are always on the outskirts, the processed stuff down the middle.
That's right. Do you want to stay away from the middle? Adrian, there's a caller. Let me see whether they have a question or they just want to listen.
Go right ahead.
Bugsy Boy, do you have a question or you're just listening?
Hi, Adrian. Just calling in to say hi to Adrian. I went to school with him. He's a classmate of mine.
Okay, hold on. Would you say what your name is and where you're calling from, please?
My name is Frank Griffith. He would know me as Bugsy Boy.
Oh, great. Hey, how are you? He was one of my good friends. We went to foundation school together. I'm glad you're listening to the show.
Yeah, man, definitely. I was a Miss.
I don't know why you're cutting out. You're cutting out, Bugsy Boy. What area are you calling from?
I'm calling from Barbados.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, what a blessing. So what have you got to say to this master chef that you all have produced?
Just keep doing what you're doing, and I appreciate it to me, and I'm sure to a lot of other people out there.
Well, thank you. I am so proud. I think you are my first Belgian caller.
Well, thanks for checking in and spread the word around. One of these days I hope to do some cooking show or cooking segment in Barbados. I know I'll be home for Christmas. And I don't know if we can organize something for then, but maybe I'll try to do something, see if I can make a connection and do something on Good Morning Barbados. But I've always wanted to do something like that. But I'll be home somewhere December 24th, and I'm catering a 70th birthday party there. So I'll be in the island for Christmas and for New Year's.
No problem.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. We'll definitely link up then.
Oh,
okay.
Great. Thanks. Have a good one.
Bugsy Boy, I want you to sign up and mark the show a favorite so you can listen it online. Don't let this be your last visit, okay?
I'm signed up.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Great. So I look forward to seeing you again. And thanks again for calling.
You're welcome.
That's beautiful, beautiful. What a blessing, Adrian, huh?
You're right. I want to talk a little bit about my style of cooking.
Yes.
And a question that I get a lot from people is, what's your specialty? And I guess it's a common question to ask a chef, but it's a question I've never really been able to answer.
Right.
It's
unique each time.
Right. I have a lot. I cook for you, you know.
I have a lot of
areas in the cooking field that I like. And there's a lot of foods that I like and a lot of different ethnic backgrounds that I really admire.
Right.
I'm always true to home.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a few things that I like. In Barbados, we make macaroni and cheese. It's a very simple dish, but we add about 30 ingredients to it.
Oh, Jamaica, here I come. We do the same thing.
And it's one of the dishes that I really like to prepare. But as far as my style of cooking, growing up in Barbados and learning about herbs and spices and different cooking techniques, I was able to fuse that with my style the traditional French way of cooking that I learned at the Culinary Institute of America. So I always describe my style as a fusion between Eastern Caribbean and classical French.
Nice.
I add my own special touch to it as well. So I use a lot
right.
of herbs, a lot of spices, a lot of marinades, and also always with everything I do in the kitchen, I'm in search of flavor. What cooking technique can I use with this product to get develop the most flavor, to develop the most residual sugars, to bring the most caramelization to the surface? That's kind of my cooking style in a nutshell.
Right.
And that's where I draw my attention from whenever I'm cooking.
Thank you so much for that insight. Just let me get a little water here. It's amazing. I'm glad you took the time because That was something I wanted to ask you, because as you rightfully said, that's a frequent question chefs get asked. And I know each chef tries as much as he or she can to stand apart from their competition. So a lot of their personal touch and love goes into their cuisines. So it doesn't matter how much they try to answer us with these questions. They cannot tell us everything, because sometimes I don't think you guys know everything either. Because as you say, you work to please the palates, right?
Right, and you always have to add your special touch. And when people call me for cooking techniques or recipes, a lot of times I would give them fundamentals. I would give them formulas.
Mm-hmm.
And with formulas, if you can just stay within the formula, I give you leeway to play around with certain spices.
Yeah, you tweak it. You can tweak it.
Right. So now you tweak it to suit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really, or even I said, well, what temperature should I cook it at? I said, well, cook it till it's done, you know.
Right.
Okay, so what is done to you? But I can tell you what's done to me. What temperature? Cook it at 350 for about between 10 and 15 minutes. I give you a little space in between there. But check it at 8 minutes to see what's going on.
Yes.
Kind of advice I would give to some person when they're looking for cooking techniques. Because I don't think that cooking should be absolute, okay? It's going to be 350 degrees for 10 minutes and that's it. No.
No, because for each person it's different.
The ovens might be different. The temperature
mm-hmm.
might be different. The BTUs in the area might be different. The water might be different or will be different. So it really now depends on what makes it you.
What's a BTU, Chef?
British Thermal Units. It talks about temperature.
All right. You're talking to us lay folks. You got to tell us. The acronym don't mean nothing to us, Chef.
I remember the Tyler Perry show was in town here in Hartford a couple months ago. And
I missed that. I didn't even know.
Right, and I catered for them, I think, for 2 or 3 days, but 2 meals per day for the period that they were here.
Mm.
And one of the ladies on the show really liked my bread pudding. I make a white chocolate chip bread pudding.
Oh, please, Adrian, don't say that this early in the morning. Oh, Lord, help us.
A white chocolate chip bread pudding with a Grand Marnier white chocolate sauce. And I use my base for the bread that I use. I use croissants, and I seek out the best croissants, which is already layered with butter anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I seek out the best croissants, and I use that as the bread, you know, to start off with, as opposed to
regular bread,
as opposed to stale bread, as people would expect.
Mm-hmm.
However, she really liked the lady from the show really liked it, and she called me back, Adrian, I really need that recipe. I wrote the recipe down for her and sent it off. And she called me recently and told me she had a tasting party, a bread pudding tasting party, invited all her friends over to try this bread pudding.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the dishes that I really enjoy to make and is always well received, white chocolate chip bread pudding.
Lord, I am drooling right now. Now, is there a cookbook in the making, or is there already one?
Well, I've been compiling recipes along the way, and I've been looking for different things to put into a cookbook. Cookbook is something that I definitely want to do. Look for it. I have a name as well for it, In Search of Flavor. That's going to be my cookbook name. Please don't use it, anyone.
I hope you copyright it already, because I'm working on a cookbook too. I might just take your name.
Okay.
I'm not going to do that to the brother.
But you know what? In the kitchen, I always think that there are no real secrets in the kitchen. We didn't invent food. We didn't invent
That's right.
Chicken.
We just work with it and craft them.
And I'm never really afraid to share anything that I have. I don't have any secret recipes, none. And
That's
I don't
right.
want any secret recipes. I am always willing to share any recipe that I have.
Mm-hmm.
If I made ribs, Adrian, oh my God, what's in these ribs? I'll tell you exactly what I do. I know you won't be able to make it like me.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you what goes into it, and now it's up to you to make it your own.
That's right.
I'm never really afraid to share any of my recipe ideas or any of my cooking techniques because I didn't invent it. I learned it along the way, and I'm happy to share it with someone else.
That's right. And the more you share, the more your creative ability is going to expand.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Are you there?
I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay. I didn't hear any sound from you. So we have 14 minutes remaining. So remember, when the book is finished, you got to come back on here to talk about it. And I'm going to be talking with you about some recipes as well, because the book I'm doing is going to be a multicultural book.
Absolutely.
What I'm doing, the recipes I'm putting there, I'm putting them with the stories from the contributors. It gives people a feel from around the world. So I hope you will contribute one or two recipes with their stories of where they came from. So,
well, I can give you a little bit of advice on producing a cookbook, and it's a benefit to whoever would purchase the cookbook in the future, and that is to make sure you test all your recipes.
Okay.
You have to spend the money and the time and test every single recipe. When you put a recipe out for some person, a housewife, a mother, a father, someone who's on the run and wants to produce something really quick, you want to make sure that you set them up for success. And that's something that I always stay true to. If I give you a recipe for something, it's because I've done it before. I'm very comfortable with the ingredients, the cooking techniques, and what I'm telling you, and I'm not just pulling something out of my head. So I find that to be a problem with most cookbooks is that the author don't really take the time to test the recipes.
Thank you so much for that, because you're right, because a lot of time you try recipes in people's book and you're thinking, what happened here, you know? So thanks. Oh, that was $1 million suggestion. So I thank you. The check is on its way, okay?
Oh, thank you.
I'll send it on Pony Express.
Okay. I just want to remind the listeners, you know, how to find me. And it's milescatering.com, MYLES catering.com. I'm always accessible there. And if you're looking for me on Facebook or Twitter or MySpace or
LinkedIn.
Any one of those, you could find me at Chef Miles, Chef Miles, and I'm always available, whether it's through an email, a text, or whatever the case may be.
Okay, and Adrian, we have 12 minutes remaining. For that young person that is listening to you now and have a desire for being a chef or being in the hospitality industry, what are some words of encouragement you would give them to really stick to what they are feeling within their heart? What would you like to tell them? You have 12 minutes.
I'm glad you asked that question. My advice for anyone who is pursuing a career in a culinary world, the career in a culinary field is not one that you jump out of high school and jump right into. As far as jump from high school and you take your next college class is going to be at a culinary institute somewhere. I always advise anyone that comes my way to take the time and go get a job, work the industry. You know, try a couple of restaurants. Work for 6 months in a restaurant and quit. Work for 6 months in another food establishment and quit. Work for 6 months in another place. You do that maybe 4 or 5 times. And you will be surprised with the amount of food knowledge that you will gather in those 6 months period. And then it opens up the opportunity now for you to really, really capture and retain the information that's going to be instilled in you through culinary school. Culinary school is definitely a must. I'm a little bit biased to CIA. To me, I found that education to be very well-rounded. And take a tour of the school or call me. I can set up a visit up to the school for you. But definitely try to get some working experience in first. You would appreciate the industry a little bit more. I when I went to culinary school, although I worked in the industry, I worked at different places. I spent a lot of my first years working in front of the house, waiter, bartender, and so on. I didn't spend a lot of time cooking, although I studied food and nutrition in high school. However, when I went to culinary school, I realized that it was a whole different language that I was learning. It was not only French that we had to learn and learn the culinary side of French, but it was also all the different cooking styles and techniques that we had to learn. And had I spent more time learning to cook in some establishments, I would have been more prepared to accept the information when I was in school.
Amazing. Wonderful. You still have 9 minutes, so you said all that good stuff in only 3 minutes. I would like for you to just give us your closing thoughts for this conversation. When somebody is repeating to a friend about our conversation this morning, what are the highlights you want them to repeat about this conversation and remember it by?
Well, one thing I like to echo again is cooking is always as good as our last meal, whether we're at home cooking for our children or whether, you know, we're in a restaurant cooking for the next patron that's going to walk through the door. But always stay true to your passion, whatever your passion is. And for the younger people or the listeners with younger children, it was instilled in me from an early age to really try to achieve the quicker in life that I decide what I want to be, the quicker in life I could achieve it. And that was very good advice for me and advice that I share to this day. And I was able to decide from very early on that I wanted to be a chef. I mean, you can make career changes throughout your years, but have a goal and have a direction to go in. If you don't know where you're going, then you don't know where you'll end up.
That's right. You won't know when you'll get there either. You keep going around.
Right. So it was very important to me to decide from early what I wanted to be, and I chose the career of a chef. And if proven to be a very good choice, I could have been a carpenter, I could have been a plumber, I could have been a mason. It didn't matter, as long as I decided from early what I wanted to be and then focus on that career path. So when it comes to advice or something that I want people to hear, those are some of the sentiments that I really want to echo and I continue to echo, and is as simple as that. Cooking.
And the other thing I heard you said, which was important to me coming from a chef, was that you took time to have fun, because a lot of chefs don't do that. I know a friend of mine, he had a nice restaurant in Waterbury and everything, and he was just burnt out, and he sold it because, I mean, he was neglecting his family, and he just was not having any personal time. So it's important that you balance whatever you're doing. This way, you can still have your adrenaline flowing for the business as well.
Right. I would always say that I don't think I would ever be burnt out in the culinary field. For one, I love what I do, and I separate very well. When I'm home, I almost never really speak about what went on at work, not because I don't want to bring work home, but that is separate and apart. You know, how was your day, honey? It was great, and this is what we do. You summarize your day. But
right.
I never spend the entire balance of the day really going talking shop. It's something
mm-hmm.
that I never really practiced, and I switch very easily from work to play. I enjoy being home. I enjoy the children. I enjoy, you know, the family, and I enjoy being at work and cooking just as much. So it's a good even split, and I enjoy it very well.
Do you cook at home?
I cook often. We sit down. Michelle and I were just talking this morning about some of the spreads that we put on the table, and you know, I cook often. Day before yesterday, we cooked ribs and chicken and sautéed spinach and mushrooms. I bought some portobello mushrooms and some.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, baby bella mushrooms, and I sautéed them with some olive oil and garlic, and then I sprinkle a little cocoa powder on the mushrooms.
I didn't know that.
Well, it helps bring out the earthy flavor in the mushrooms. And it adds a nice little touch to it. A little cocoa powder. It could be Swiss Miss chocolate in a pot, in a package, or
mm-hmm.
whatever the case may be. But we did that. I sauteed baby spinach with some olive oil very lightly. As soon as it hits the pan, it's almost ready to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I like to boil my ribs. Some people cook ribs differently. I like to boil my ribs, and I like to boil it in a stock that is just as flavorful as if I want to take the stock off and drink it as a soup or as a broth. I can enjoy it as well. But
mm-hmm.
I boil the ribs, and then I finish them in the oven with barbecue sauce. Another ingredient that I'm not opposed to buying barbecue sauce from the supermarket or getting ketchup and adding my own ingredients and making it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that I like to put in my barbecue sauce as some good finishing ingredients, Coca-Cola. I always add a little bit of Coca-Cola and a little bit of mustard to my barbecue sauce, no matter what the foundation is. And I use that. I brush it on top of the ribs, turn the oven high heat, caramelize the sugars on the outside a little bit, and that was my ribs.
Man, so I boil my ribs too with beer. So I guess it's an island thing that we like to boil it, and then it goes all the way down to the bones, man.
Yes, yes.
Oh, so I'm so hungry, Adrian.
I'm always cooking, and every now and then I would throw a party at the house. But when I throw parties, I tend to only advertise a party maybe 3 days before the party is going to be on.
Because it's, so you keep the right crowd?
I keep the crowd down. I typically don't
advertise. I guess I have to get somebody in Hartford that can eavesdrop to call me so I can travel up for the party.
Listen, that's just the way. I have to put you on the list of one of the few. There are a couple of people that I would call and just giving them, hey, I'm having a party. That's all I need to do. Then you know what? The house would be full in no time.
Amazing, amazing. You know, I just pray that you have enjoyed the conversation this morning as much as I have. And we have another 3 minutes remaining in this segment because I'm waiting on Kathy to call in. I want for you to once again repeat your contact information for the listeners. And Kathy just called in, but you go ahead and take the time, Adrian, to now take this time, Adrian, to please remind the listeners how to contact you. And I want to thank you again for taking this time to bless the listeners.
Yes, I'm actually getting texts on my phone as we speak about the bread pudding recipe.
Oh, wonderful. And listen, send them to the website to express their feelings about your conversation.
Absolutely. I will. I will definitely do that. And thank you so much for having me.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure. You have done so much for the community, and I am here to highlight people so that people can be encouraged, because people are so down in the valley these days, and I need to give them a hope. I need to give them a ray of light that they can help to climb out of that valley that they're in. And you were such a beacon of light this morning, and I thank you for that. And I pray your continued success, Adrian.
Thank you. When you first asked me to do the interview, I was very excited that you've chosen me. And when you said it was going to be an hour, I said, well, what am I going to talk about for an hour? But to tell you the truth, I really wish it was 2 hours. The time came and went so quickly, and it was so – I'm very excited. Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure. You don't know me, man. You can talk – I can have you talking for 13 hours.
Well, thank you. You should have me on again. I appreciate that.
Oh, I certainly will do that. And, again, stay blessed, and I thank you so much. And if you have a little time, I want you to hang around and listen to Kathy. She's another amazing woman.
I will. I'm online already listening. What I will do is maybe closer to the holiday, maybe I can call in and talk about some recipes for the holiday period. And some.
Amazing. I would love to do that. Let's do that. I'll set up a special two-hour episode for that.
Excellent. So it's milescatering.com, www.milescatering.com. On Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, or any of those social networks, you can look
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, you can look for me on the Chef Miles. Thank you so much.
You, have you stay blessed, Adrian, and keep doing God's work.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Kathy, good morning, my sister. How are you?
I am wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. How are you, Daphne?
I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I tell you something. I am having two powerful guests this morning, and it's such a blessing. I don't know whether or not you were on and got the time to listen to Chef Miles, but if you haven't, Kathy, you need to go catch him on demand. This is a powerful brother.
You know, I did catch a little bit of the end, but I am going to go back and listen to the entire archive because I know I could tell that last piece, he's a very powerful individual, and so are you, by the way.
Well,
and
thank you. Thank you.
Fabulous.
You are so kind. Thank you. I think we have to try that bread pudding he spoke about, Kathy. I'm telling you.
Oh, I'm telling you. That's my favorite.
Well,
my favorite.
I am so blessed and honored that you took the time to be on my show this morning, Kathy. I have to let the listeners know we don't know each other personally, but we are Blog Talk family. And, I mean, any person that is touching lives all over the world, as you are doing, Kathy, I want to be in your company.
Well, you know, Daphne, you're right in that we are not biologically linked, but we are spiritually linked. And actually, I believe there is a connection with every single person on this planet. We are all spiritually linked. And as soon as we realize that and discover
mm-hmm.
why we were placed on this earth, the
That's
better
right.
lives we'll be able to live.
That's right. That's right. Because, you know, we are all created for a purpose. And there
right.
is none of us that can fulfill this purpose by ourselves. And we need to understand the true meaning of collaboration. And this is one of the reasons why I so love this blog talk, because it opens up doors that traditional radio doesn't.
That's correct. That is so correct. And there are so many great messages out there. And I went to an event yesterday,
uh-huh.
and there were so many big names at this event. There were so many big names at the event. It was 20,000 people in this place.
Wow.
Yeah, there were 20,000, and there were huge names like NFL great Terry Bradshaw, Rick Pitino. He's been a winning coach, and Zig Ziglar and Robert Mueller, and just huge names. And I noticed on the news that they interviewed several attendees at
yes.
the event, and some of the attendees that they interviewed on the news talked about how, oh, I really need to be motivated, and it was such a great event. And you know, that's true. It was a great event, and I understand that people need to be motivated. But every person is not going to have an opportunity to be touched by those millionaire motivators.
Yeah, motivation is an inside job. And oh, Kathy, I'm telling you, you and I, we are so connected. Girl, before you
Absolutely.
Go on, I need to have you introduce yourself to the listeners, because
that's
we
right.
just start
and,
off.
And that's exactly what I want the listeners to hear, is that everybody's not going to be touched by a millionaire motivator. There are people like you and I, and
right.
right there within themselves, motivation comes from the inside. And I understand that's why people like you and I exist, so that we can help jumpstart their motivation.
That's right. We inspire them to be motivated.
Correct.
But, you
and
know, a lot of times people, they have the support they need under their noses, and they keep kicking it apart and moving right along. I can see already we are going to have such a good time. But, Kathy, let us start from the beginning, please. Would you just introduce yourself to the viewer, the listeners, and tell them about your humble beginnings?
Absolutely. I spent over 25 years in corporate America, Daphne, and I was actually in the technology industry. And
mm-hmm.
I started in the technology industry because back during that time in the early 70s, my parents were very motivated and very inspired to try to push their children down a non-traditional path for African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, the career path for African Americans was either a teacher or a nurse, and they did not want their children to be the traditional roles.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted me to go into technology. I was good in math, and that was one of my best subjects in school. So I did that. Even though it wasn't a passion, I was good at it. It was a strength. I would say it was a strength. Math was a strength, but it wasn't a passion. I knew what my passion was. My passion was to help people and to be a mentor. I was always a mentor as far back as I can remember. I always had young proteges under me that I offered advice, and I helped them to work out whatever issues that they had. I loved doing that. But I still went ahead and followed my parents' choice for me, for my career. And that's why my show is entitled Live by Design, Not by Accident, because for me that was an accidental career because I wanted to please my parents.
That's right. Don't we all do that? Yeah.
Yes. And when we go down a path to try to please our parents or our spouse or our friends or anybody other than ourselves and our passion and our divine creator, we are just setting ourselves up for trouble.
That's right.
I stayed there, and I was miserable. I was making major money. I mean, six figures. It was the income. There was nothing that I didn't have that money couldn't buy. Monetary-wise, I was set. Financially secure. Now, why wasn't that enough? You know why that wasn't enough? If that was enough, then there would be a lot of people in Hollywood who would be fine, and they wouldn't be ODing on drugs. They wouldn't be committing
suicide. That's right. Now, that's what I'm talking about.
They wouldn't be doing those things. So money is not the answer.
That's right.
I was miserable. So I just woke up one day and I said, God, I want you to give me the courage and the strength to live my purpose. I know what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. I just need the courage to step out on faith, take that leap, and do it. And that's exactly what I walked away from, that money, that security, that income, and I stepped out there and jumped out there and started doing what I'm doing. And I absolutely love it. Now, people ask me all the time when I tell that story, Daphne.
Yeah.
Are you back to making what you was making in corporate America? You know what? It's not even important because
that is
not where my focus is.
Satisfaction within you. There is no emptiness. And that's what money cannot buy. And people don't understand.
And you have to be something before you can have something.
Exactly. Amen. That's what I'm talking about.
It doesn't matter the money that I'm bringing in from this new career. I am changing lives. God will give me what he wants me to have financial-wise.
Exactly. And your personal intellectual capital investment, that dividend is always rising.
That
is not going to go in a recession. And that's why people don't understand that when you invest in people, you cannot lose.
Right.
You know?
That's right. That's right.
It's amazing.
And that's the only way to change the world is one life.
One life at a time.
That's right. Absolutely.
And there are so many
people that come to me as a life coach, especially during this recession, which is why I wrote my book, Emotional Bailout, and they come to me, and because they lost their jobs, they're losing their self-hope and self-worth right along with it, and I'm trying to explain to them that you can't tie your self-worth to possessions. I've done that. It's just not going to work. You are not going to be happy when you do that.
And you are never going to be satisfied because, you know, in Jamaica, Kathy, they have a saying. It's just a phrase. They say the higher the monkey climbs, the more he's exposed. And it's the same thing when you tie yourself to worldly possessions. You are never satisfied. You always want more stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. And you lose the picture of why you are here.
Correct. And you show me a person who understands their life's purpose, and I will show you someone who absolutely gets it. They're fulfilled. They're satisfied. It doesn't matter what their monetary status is. What matters is what's inside of them, and they know.
They know exactly
where they're supposed to be because there are two monumental days that we will experience in this lifetime. One is the day we're born, and one is the day we figure out why.
Exactly.
And when we know why we're here, what our purpose is, why our life has meaning, that's going to make all the difference in the world in our energy level, our health, and so many other areas of our lives.
And I tell people often, Kathy, that you all need to find somebody who believes in you. You know, I heard you mention about even when you were in technology, you were mentoring people. And a lot of people shy away from mentor and coaches. And it is important for your survival. If you have to strive in life, you need a mentor, you need a coach, because quite often you cannot find those people in your immediate family or the immediate circle that you move in, because most often the people in those circle, and we love them dearly, but they haven't took the part that you are now on, and it's more than likely that they're going to discourage you not to go that path. So you need to find someone who will be objective and support you on
absolutely.
That walk.
That's absolutely correct, because everyone has a dream. And I know some people may be listening to us right now, and they may say, well, I don't have a passion. I'm not passionate about anything. There is something that you're passionate about. You just haven't discovered it yet. You can't show me one person on this planet that hasn't dreamed. When you lay down and sleep at night, you dream. It's natural.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
what we do. So I know that you have dreams. I know there is something in you. You just haven't discovered what that is yet. That's why it's so important, and I try to stress this with my clients and everybody I come in contact with. You must do a thorough self-assessment of who you are, your strengths, your weaknesses, your beliefs, your passions. What do you believe in?
That's right.
If you don't know what you believe in, there has to be something specific that you can say, I believe that A, B, C, whatever it is, I believe this.
Something.
I
something.
Believe that.
We all believe. You know, it's interesting
you
that you said
in,
that,
you
Kathy.
You pull your passions from that. Pull your passions from that.
That's right. You know, I am one of the small group leaders at my church. I teach a small group called In Pursuit of Purpose. And one of the activities that I do to every participant in that class, at the first class, is to give them a self-assessment form to complete, because I'm saying, unless you know where you were and where you are right now, you are not going to be ready to really take up the baton that you're really supposed to be taking up. And
right.
a dear friend of mine who's in the class, I love her dearly. The first week I gave the form, she looked at me and she said, well, what is this for? I said, it's just the first activity that you need to do. And I could see her body expression that she just wasn't having it, you know. And she said out loud, she said, I don't know why I have to do this form. Anyway, I just didn't follow through on that. But then when she came back the second week of the class, she was sharing with the other participants in the class how kind of resentful she was against the form, and then she went home and looked at it, and she said, oh, my God, this is the best thing that I've ever done in my life. I cannot believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, this is going to be part of what I stick away. You know where you keep your important documents, like
right.
something like a vault or something? Because this form is tracking important times in my life that my daughter will want to know about when I'm not here. So I just applaud her. And she said, I just apologize for the way I acted last week about the form.
mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
So it was amazing. Kathy, we will be speaking about emotional bailout. But before we do that, we want to kind of close the conversation with that. Let us talk about living by design.
Oh, sure.
And I know you're such a passionate person for that, and now hearing your personal story, I know why you are working diligently to have others not go through the motion of pleasing others, but
right.
pleasing your passion and your purpose.
Correct.
Let's talk about the beginning of that for you, understanding the real importance of living by design and the
right.
courage it took for you to left corporate America. What were some of the flags you got from your folks, friends and family, when you decided to do that?
Oh, my goodness, Daphne, I can't tell you. If I had a nickel for every person that said to me, are you crazy? I'd be a millionaire right now. Yeah. Oh, family, friends, every person that I came in contact with, including my spouse, Which I'm now divorced, but that's okay because I have to live my purpose, and if that means to, you know, drop the extra baggage or whatever, you definitely
have to.
Yeah,
we got to cut some stuff loose, Kathy.
We do have to cut some things loose, and there are going to be a lot of things that are going to drop out of your life, people that are going to start dropping into your life. When you start living according to your purpose, things are going to change in your life, and you're not going to understand why they're changing. You just need to keep your mind focused on your purpose. But there were so many people that came to me and asked me, you know, what was wrong with me? Why was I doing this? Why are you going to step out and do something that you have no, it's a risk, it's a gamble. What is wrong with you? You have a good, steady, solid income. You have everything money can buy.
Mm.
And I said, but I'm not satisfied. I'm not fulfilled on the inside. Every Sunday night I go through a depression. I'm not satisfied. So what about that? Oh, you can get over that. You know, just start enjoying it. You know, just it pays a lot of money. You know, as long as you're making money, you're fine. They didn't get
they
it.
Have
not
to
only
understand.
Did they not get it, but they didn't support me. I didn't have any support. I had to find all new support people, a brand spanking new support network. I had to join mastermind groups, people that believed like I believed. I had to surround myself with people who were motivated and who really did get it.
That's right, and because you look out and you know it is happening, and you're thinking, you're seeing it happening. What happened to all these naysayers? Why aren't they seeing it? It's nothing new, not because you haven't done it. That doesn't mean it cannot be done.
That's
you
right.
know?
That is so absolutely true. And that's what I said to him. You know what? I am living my purpose because just the short period of time that I have been out doing what I've been doing, and it has been a short period of time.
That's right.
Because I just stepped out. I started my company in 2007 and just stepped out of corporate America last year in 2008. So it's been a short period
heaven.
Of time. Oh, I know it. And I tell you.
God bless you.
The things that God has brought my way in the last 12 months. It's been remarkable. When you are living your passion, living your purpose, doors open up, people start showing up in your life that you're wondering, where did this person come from?
Yeah, where were they? Oh, my God, where were they? But when what they say, Kathy, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Absolutely.
So,
you have that so right.
Your job, and I'm saying this for the listeners, our job is only to be ready. Everything else we need will appear once we are ready.
That's right.
You know? Let's talk a little bit about your show and some of the people that you have interviewed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. My living body, and that is another blessing. I'm glad you said that, Daphne. That's another blessing. The Living by Design radio show, Blog Talk Radio, gave me the platform to get my message out.
Mm-hmm.
I have been blessed with the opportunity to have some magnificent guests who already have a huge platform, who have a huge following, who've been on Oprah, who've been on NBC, ABC, all these people that I don't know why they decided to give me an interview. But they did. And I don't
Because it's not about you, Kathy. It's about God.
I was just getting ready to say, I don't believe it has anything to do with me as an individual.
Uh-huh.
I think it has to do with me being the servant. God is working.
Conduit. You are only the conduit.
Absolutely. I love that word, conduit. That's right.
Yeah, because, you see, this was divinely arranged. This appointment was made way before you came on Blog Talk. They were just waiting for you to be on Blog Talk to confirm the appointment.
That's correct. That
you
is
know,
so correct. And
it's amazing because I did traditional radio for 18 months, and I'm telling people, I said, during that time, I never got 12 phone calls.
Wow.
And I said, now I'm on Blog Talk, and the world is open to me. This morning we had a caller in from Barbados.
Wow.
Would not have had that on traditional radio. You know,
but
let's go back to some of the people you have interviewed. You know, I know you did some prominent people.
Absolutely. And there have been a lot of motivational people that have come onto my show. I feel like the biggest motivator, in my opinion, has been Zig Ziglar, because I grew up with Zig Ziglar. He was a master motivator. He started out motivating sales teams, and then he moved into just, you know, just general motivating in general,
yep.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the opportunity to interview him earlier this year, and what really impressed me about this person, Daphne, is that it's easy to stand on the platform and do a presentation and give a keynote speech when you're making millions of dollars and you've got the world at your feet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not easy to do that when you are struggling with your health and
mm-hmm.
you're struggling with some serious physical handicaps and issues. And he took a fall about a year or so ago.
Wow.
And ever since he took that fall, he's had some issues with his short-term memory. So he's not
able
to
do. Oh, my Lord, I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah. So he's not able to do what he used to do and just stand on stage and razzle-dazzle the audience.
Yes.
But he has embraced his struggle. As a matter of fact, that's the name of his newest book that's going to be released.
Be released.
Embracing the Struggle, because he lives life on life's terms. And that's
mm-hmm.
what we all need to do. All of my guests that have come on Living by Design, they all say the same thing. We need to live life on life's terms. So
that's
many
right.
of us get caught up, Daphne. We get caught up.
Oh,
in
yes.
Why me? Why me? Why does this have to happen to me? Why can't I? When is my day going to go? What, you know, all of why, when, what questions.
It's none
when
of your business.
To,
just do what you have
yeah,
to do and leave the rest.
We need to get over ourselves. Get past your past.
That's right. It's in the archive. What are you
Absolutely.
Doing now? And this is why I am such an advocate for one day at a time, because this is all we have. And we need to do our best with today, not
right.
yesterday, not tomorrow, today.
Right.
And once we do that, then we will experience a fulfilled, joyous life.
Yes, yes. That is absolutely correct. And that's why if people can just get past their past, we are so caught up. Because, I mean, I could be caught up in the fact that I wasted 28 years in corporate America, or I could look at it in a positive manner and say, I gained a lot of knowledge, business experience, management, leadership, technology. I gained all this experience to now bring out and start my own company.
That's right, because
there,
it molded
there
you.
There are always two ways to look at every situation.
That's right. Those 20 years was prep time for you.
Absolutely.
So you can't go
that
back and
fantastic.
Whine over that and have a pity party, because then you would be wasting valuable time. Now
That's
that
right.
you have seen the light, what are you planning on doing with it?
Correct. And you know, and I tell my clients too, Daphne, it's okay to cry.
Of
it's
course
okay
it is.
It's okay to have a bad moment. It's okay to say, oh, my goodness, I feel bad about this. It's okay to visit Pity City, but it's not okay to live and dwell
That's
there.
That's right. Don't pack up house there. Don't furnish it.
That's right. Don't just unpack your suitcase and just make it a home.
That's
what
right.
What you need
uh-uh.
to do is have your moment and get past your past, move on, realize what's still ahead. I tell people, if you didn't get what you wanted in this year, then start over. Begin again in 2010.
That's right.
That's what
There's
I sound.
Always
you got
a new beginning.
New year coming up.
Have
That's
to
right.
choose it.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy, if you would, let's say there are listeners now that's looking and they say, okay, this episode was for me. I decide I want to start living by design. If you would give them a checklist, what would that checklist look like for them to begin?
I absolutely would have to tell you the number one most important thing you need to do first is a thorough self-assessment.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know who you are, then someone else will come in and tell you who you are, and they will lead you down a path that you may not like. So you have to define
right.
who you are. You have to define. And the only way to do that is through a thorough self-assessment. If you don't know how to conduct a self-assessment, get in touch with Daphne or myself or someone that does what we do, and we will be more than happy to take you by the hand and show you how to conduct a thorough self-assessment. Until you do that, you're not going to know what your goals are.
That's right.
What do you want to have in life? You're not going to know that until
That's
you
right.
do your thorough self-assessment and know your strengths, your weaknesses, your beliefs,
mm-hmm.
your motivations.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know all those things, your passions, whatever that is, and whatever your goals are. Because you could pull your goals out of that once you do that assessment.
That's right.
And then
you know what I noticed, Kathy? After people do the self-assessment and realize they always bomb the palm of their hand on their forehead. I cannot believe this has always been staring me in the face and I didn't know. Because people
right.
don't take the time to write things down, and this is why that is happening, you know.
Right. That's exactly where I was going to go next. Because the next phase of that is to learn how to effectively set goals. How many people do you know that will set a New Year's resolution and by March it's totally gone? It's because that thought was floating around in their head and they never wrote it down. Until
mm-hmm.
you write it down, put a time frame against it, measure it. I always use SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time limits.
That's
Until
right.
Until it has a time
right.
limit on it and you can measure it, it's nothing. It's just a thought in your head. That's all it is. It's not
a
goal.
Just a wish. Just a wish.
It's just a wish. You must write it down and have all those components in place. And until that happens, you're going to just float around with those resolutions, and it's never going to become a reality.
Okay.
But
you have a third
also,
one?
And it's
Are you
also
there?
Very, can you hear me?
Yes. No, I can.
Oh, good, good. But it's also very important that, and this is one of the things I talk about in my book, Emotional Bailout, because one of the things that we don't do is we try to move forward before we evaluate and eliminate the junk from our past that's holding us down.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much junk. You could take a person who may have a dream or a goal, but they have so much junk accumulated from their past that they haven't
mm-hmm.
dealt with. Because I can tell you this, Daphne, whatever you don't deal with, it will deal with you.
Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, my
you.
Sister.
So
That's right. So just face it and get rid of it.
Or
else it's going to
face
up at a time when you don't want it.
Right. Evaluate
mm-hmm.
it and eliminate it. Figure out what it is. Every person, every one of us brings something from our childhood that we don't like, whether it's a dysfunctional family, whether it's some type of physical or verbal, emotional abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's being teased in school, something from the neighborhood, it's
mm-hmm.
something you're going to bring from your childhood into adulthood. And as you become an adult, along the way, you accumulate more stuff from a divorce or a failed relationship or job loss or the loss of a loved one, grief, health issues, whatever the case may be.
We all
as
got.
You age,
that's right.
You're going to accumulate that stuff. It's going to accumulate. You've got to deal with that.
That's
You've
right.
got to get that junk cleaned out before
mm-hmm.
you can go forward and achieve in your goals.
Mm-hmm.
Very
That's
important.
Right. That was number three.
Once you have assessed what it is you want to do with your life and you have accumulated or you have addressed the junk that's in your spirit, and
mm-hmm.
your emotional baggage, and you've gotten that emotional baggage out of there,
mm-hmm.
then you're able to put a plan in place.
Yes.
And like I said, you got to make sure you write down your goals. You know, create a vision for yourself. And the way I tell people to do to create their vision is to close your eyes and envision your ideal successful life. Just see it.
That's
see the
right.
vision. Feel it. Embrace it. Touch it. Smell it. Everything. Just
mm-hmm.
feel the vision. And whatever it is you have visualized, write it down.
That's right.
And that's your vision. And then the next thing I tell people to do, Daphne, is it's very important to always be a lifelong learner.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You know, it puzzles me, Kathy, to see so many adult folks who don't even have a library card. And they get the book for free. All they have to do is to invest some time there. So
yes.
people need to continue learning.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. Because learning and education never stops. We keep going
never.
And growing. We're
never,
growing, going
never,
and growing.
Never stop.
Every day.
You know, I'm in school now completing my psychology degree, and I was so excited. I was on the dean's list the other day, and I was telling a friend of mine, go! I sent an email blast out about being on the dean's list and everything. And I said, I can't believe at my age I'm on the dean's list. She said, I said, when I was young, I wasn't on the dean's list. She said, yeah, because you have to pay for it now, so you're making sure you get your money's worth.
Well, you know, and everybody says that, oh, I'm too, that's one of the things that people say, Daphne, and I'm glad you mentioned that. Well,
mm-hmm.
I can't do it at this age. I'm too old.
Please.
I'm too this. I'll wait until I lose 10 pounds. I'll wait until
Please.
The weather is cold outside. I'll wait till the weather's warm outside. I'll wait till the spring. I'll wait till the kids
mm-hmm.
are gone. You know, if you keep on waiting and making excuses for not achieving your goals, it's going to always be something. As
always going to be something popping up.
The time is going to be right. That's right.
Please allow me to just remind the listeners that they can call in at any time with their questions, and the number for that is 646-915-8166. And please call in. I want to again welcome and thank the guests in the chat room. And let me know when you have a question, but we would love to hear from you. And, of course, you are listening to none other than Kathy Holloway Hill. And she is the host of Living by Design and the new author of Emotional Bailout, which we will be speaking about later on. Back to you, Kathy.
Absolutely. Yes, and I just I think there are so many obstacles that get in our way. I mean, there are so many things that influence our thoughts, Daphne, and when we're trying to get past our past, as I mentioned, and there's so many things that influence our thoughts and they jump in there and they affect us. And
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna tell you one big, big influence, and that's
mm-hmm.
the media. And if people could just understand that one fact, the media has a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're focused on getting that job done. They don't care about how much negative news they're reporting. They
mm-hmm.
don't care what it's doing to you. They
mm-hmm.
don't care how much it's penetrating your spirit and your emotions. They don't care how it's affecting you. They're trying to get their ratings up and report the story before the other network reports it. So
that's right.
It's your job to filter negative news out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We know there's a recession. We know the economy's bad. We know unemployment is up. We know employment is down. We know those things. We know suicide is up. We know divorce rate's up. We already know all those things. So why do you come home from work every single day and plop yourself down in front of the TV to get more of the same?
That's right. You
to
have
keep you in that same stuck rut.
Mm-hmm. You have to say the buck stops here and choose what you do. You don't have to be part of those things. Yes, it is happening, but you need to put yourself in a position to say, when all of this is over, if it's one person that's going to have a positive report, it's me.
Exactly.
And that's the decision that I took now with what's going on. I'm not participating in the recession. I don't
that's
care
right.
what my checkbook says. I don't care what my bill collectors say. I'm not being a part of that because I know when all this is over, I'm going to have a positive report.
That's correct. And there are so many resources out there that can help you do that. There are so many fabulous resources, and you don't have to spend a mint getting the information. I mean, there are tips and techniques on my website. I'm sure you have some on your website. I have lots of articles on my website that will help you get wherever you need to go. The information is out there. We are living in the age of the Internet. There is so much information out on the Internet that can help anyone get to wherever they want to be. There's no reason why you can't have exactly what you want in your life. Did you know that Bill Gates built and started Microsoft during a recession? Did you know that?
That's right. And
he wasn't looking about this is going on.
He was tapping into his creativity. And he wanted to have, he wanted to create a legacy during that time so that each time, like you just did, When something like that faces the nation again, you can say, did you know that this happened during the time? So what is your story going to be? And this
right.
is for the listeners. After this is over, what will the world be saying about you? Did you know that John did this during that time? So we have to start creating our legacies and have these positive reports that we need to have after all the turmoil is settled. Oh, Kathy, I can't believe we only have 25 minutes. Where did the time go? Would you
Absolutely.
Please take a few minutes now to give your contact information out, and then we're going to talk about emotional bailout, and then we will finish the rest of the time between emotional bailout and living by design.
Absolutely, and I am putting my website in the chat room. My website, I actually have two websites. My main website that features my vision, my company, the products and services and seminars that I do, it's www.chollowayhill.com, and I'll spell that for you. It's CHOLLOWAYHILL.com. And you can contact me. You can sign up for my newsletter, and there is lots of articles that can help you create your post-recession comeback plan, put your resume together, your job portfolio. A lot of people don't even know what a job portfolio is, but
yes.
if you want to rise head and shoulders above your competition, then walk in that interview with a job portfolio, and it will knock them dead. And all that information is on my website. You can email me, Kathy@CHOLLOWAYHILL.com, and Kathy is with a C, Kathy@CHOLLOWAYHILL.com. And everything, and there's also a link from that website over to my emotionalbailout.com website. My emotionalbailout.com website is all about my book, everything related to the book, events, book signings, and things that I'm doing that are related to the book. There's some teleseminars that are going to be coming up, and all of that will be posted on the Emotional Bailout website.
Okay. All right. And did you put, because I am not on the chat room now. I'm glad we're still on here because I'm having a little bit of challenge getting on there. But you did type that in there, right?
Yes.
All right. So we'll just continue because this thing is acting up. But I'm glad we are on the phone and not on the headset. So we will still continue. So let us fast forward to emotional bailout.
Right.
I love
right.
the title.
Thank you. Thank you. And I tell you what inspired me to write Emotional Bailout. I'm in an organization called Professional Woman Network.
Is that with Kim Yancey and his wife?
Actually, that's a different network. I am a premier coach with eWomen Network. That's eWomen Network.
Oh.
Yes, I'm a premier
coach.
I have
to talk to you about the other one. No, but not now, off the air.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Professional Woman Network, I co-authored 5 books. They have a prestigious library of books that
wow.
focus on the growth and development of women from all walks of life, all ages, all nationalities, all walks of life. And I actually co-authored 5 of the books in their prestigious library. And
wow.
then I decided to – I had this dream and vision to write Emotional Bailout.
Yes.
The state of the economy is what actually inspired me to write it because of what I had mentioned earlier. So many new clients are coming to me because they lost their job, they're losing their self-hope, and they're losing their self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
And they're tying their accomplishments to their income and their possessions. Because they don't have that job anymore, they feel like they're not worthy. You know, their self-esteem is suffering. So I wanted to write Emotional Bailout because I want people to understand you can't tie your self-worth to possessions because you will never, ever move forward in life.
That's
if
right.
If you wait for things on the outside of you to change before you make that change on the inside, then you just don't get it.
That's
you don't
right.
get it.
That's
you can't
right.
live in a world where you're expecting everything on the outside of you to fulfill you and make you feel better. It's just not going to happen. Things in your world external to you will always change. Change is the only thing that won't change.
That's right. Change is constant.
Change is going to happen. It's constant. Right. So until you learn how to strengthen the inner you, the inner self, and build that self-love and that real true self-esteem, you're going to always be chasing something.
That's right.
And so that's why I wanted to write Emotional Bailout, to explain that it's not about the job, it's not about the possessions, it's not about the money, it's not about anything outside of you. And Emotional Bailout is, even though it talks a lot about job loss, there's a lot of things that control our emotions, our family,
mm-hmm.
our
mm-hmm.
marriage, our children, our health.
That's right. The community
our
we live in, everything.
Yeah, the world that you live in, yeah, exactly, the environment. There's a lot of things that can, the weather, just anything can control your emotions if you allow that to be the way you live your life. So
yes.
once you gain control of your thoughts and you don't allow your thoughts to control you, you gain control of your emotions, you can have anything you want in life. And my subtitle is, well, Emotional Bailout is the title of my book, and the subtitle is 9 Principles for Rising When Your World is Falling.
All right.
And that's what the most important thing to keep in mind is, that you are in control of your life. Your life is not controlling you.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And you
I want to, Kathy, excuse me. I want to apologize to the listeners, because the system has actually kicked me off of the internet. So if there's anybody calling in, I am not seeing you, so I do apologize for that. And neither am I seeing how many minutes we have, because I'm not on there, but I'm trying to go on. I'm happy that we are on the phone and we can still continue with our conversation, Kathy. And that's one
now,
of the beauty with working with a
I'm
professional. You are just moving right along with me, so I appreciate that. So
I'm
please tell the listeners where to pick the book up and where you will be having book signing and when.
Okay, I'm still in the chat room.
Okay.
Yeah, I can still see the chat room, and I can keep you posted on the
I appreciate that, because I don't want to do anything with my laptop and that I lose you, so I'm just staying on. I appreciate you teaming up to help me do that. So
absolutely.
If you see any questions in the chat room, if you just repeat it and address it, I would appreciate it.
Sure.
So when and where are you having book signings, Kathy?
Now, I tell you, I have a this is actually a local TV show. I have a local TV segment. It's on the CW channel, on the CW. For people that are listening in the Kentuckiana area, southern Indiana, and northern Tennessee, you can catch me every Thursday morning on the CW Louisville Morning Show. I have a career segment on there, and we talk about email notes, questions that people have sent me emails about. Sometimes they call in with questions asking about how do they start their career search. They lost their job. They don't know where to go from here. They don't know where to start. You know, their mindset is bad, their attitude is bad, and all of these things. How can I get motivated? So we talk about all of those things on that show.
You just gave me an idea. I, too, have a local cable TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And sometime, maybe 4 months ago, was the first time I had a guest on. She was from the Detroit area. And you mentioned this, now what you're doing on that show, and I think I'm going to need to set you up to do an episode with you via the telephone. We got to do a whole bang, shibang, guru thing. We got to get your picture on a JPEG file and have your picture projected on the TV screen while I have conversation with you on the phone. Because that, I think, would be very beneficial to my listeners as well on the TV show.
Absolutely. Yes, that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. Because I'm
loving that already. I'm just thanking God for bringing you in my life.
Oh, I know. Me too. Me too. I get so many repeat questions. A lot of people have the same questions, and that's why I try to focus on those when I do my segment, because they don't know how to get motivated. They don't know how to pull up out of the emotional hell pit that they're in, but you can pull up out of it. I mean, you just have to You have to really push against that negative feeling. All those thoughts that are floating around in your head, they're there because they have accumulated in your spirit, and that's all that you have to pull from your spirit.
That's right. And
but when you replace that with new thoughts, then you'll have better thoughts to pull out.
Exactly. And what is what has been beneficial for me, Kathy, is my continuous learning process, surrounding myself with the right people, people who can help me get motivated. I look at them doing things, I'm inspired, and in turn, I get motivated. And I know during my valley days, as I call them, and I began pressing into my spiritual relationship and connection. And I had that ladder. I like to call it a ladder. And I'm always deep down in the valley. And as I tap into my spiritual relationship to get higher, more committed, more devoted, Kathy, it's like I see a ladder coming down in the pit in that valley. And as I step on each run of my spiritual connection, before I knew it, I was out of that valley.
Right. And, you know, Daphne, I'm glad you mentioned that because you said that you're a minister. Or are you work in your church or something?
Yeah, I work in my church.
Okay,
I am one of the small group leaders.
Okay. You're a group leader in your church. I'm a motivational speaker.
Mm-hmm.
What I want everyone to hear me, I want everyone that's listening to this archive or if you're listening live on the phone or in the chat room, make sure you hear what I say right now. I am not, Daphne is not, neither one of us are telling you that you can never, ever have a down moment.
That's
right. That
you
can never, ever have a point in your life when you feel like crying or you feel like giving up. That's expected. You're human.
That's
what
right.
We are saying to you is don't stay down in that valley. Don't stay down in that valley. Throw yourself a ladder and climb up out of there. Find people that can help pull you up. You're going to have days that are difficult. You're going to have days that are great. You're going to have that and everything in between.
That's right.
But the key here is to just know where you can pull strength and inspiration and motivation from. It is available. If
that's right. And the thing with me, Kathy, because I tell people, as an inspirational coach and everything, I tell people, I'm not just telling you what my certification taught me. I'm telling you what I have lived through and conquered. I know for me personal, every time I am close to accomplishing a goal and I get so focused on the goal, Kathy, that's when all the negative things start hitting left, right, center, in the face, in the eyes, and everything. And I have to acknowledge it for what it is and really press deeper in what sustains me, which is my spirituality. And I'm not speaking religion, but I know for me, my spirituality, when everything else around me has fallen, that's the one thing I have to grab onto as a ladder, as a secure ladder. As I step on each of those rungs, I know I will be able to climb out of that valley.
You absolutely have that correct. And every person listening has that same option, that same capability. Believe it or not, I know you've heard this cliche, attitude is a choice. I know you've heard that and you may be tired of hearing it or whatever the case may be, but it's so very true if you just give it a chance.
That's right.
Just give it a chance. Attitude is a choice. And you can wake up tomorrow morning and you can decide that you're going to have a stinking day.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can decide you're going to have a fabulous day, and whatever you hold in your mind, that's what you're going to have. If you make the choice you're going to have a stinking day, you're going to have a stinking day, and everything that hits you is going to stink. But
yeah, because the universe
choice,
has to work with what you give it.
It's
so
true.
Why
and
not choose to give
energy.
It something positive?
And your thoughts are energy. Everything that flows through your mind is an energetic force
energy.
That the universe is listening to.
That's right. So it's working with what we have. It's not anybody. It's you. I was speaking. I forget where I was speaking, and I'm saying that we all are writing the scripts of our lives each day, and the pen we use is the tongue. We are writing the script of our lives. Nobody else. So we need to stop blaming and look in the mirror and ask the questions of the person that is looking back at us about what it is that we want to do with our lives. I was back on, and then I got kicked, or almost kicked off again. I saw that we had 11 minutes. I wanted to once again repeat your contact information.
And then
we want to just summarize your thought, please.
Sure, absolutely. My contact information is www.chollowayhill.com. That's CHOLLOWAYHILL.com. And you can link to my other emotional bailout website from that. That's my main website. And you can email me at Kathy with the C, Kathy@CHOLLOWAYHILL.com. And everything about me and everything I'm working on, upcoming teleseminars and events, is all posted on my website.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'm back on. And I apologize for the listeners. We didn't get any calls, but I know you all are just writing down all this wonderful information that Kathy has given you. And Kathy, when is your radio show on again? Tell the listeners about when they can listen to you live.
My show is on each Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And let me just tell you this, Daphne, for all your listeners. I am in the midst of a 12-week series. It's entitled Review, Renew, and Reclaim Your Life. And every one of the guests that I'm going to have on my show, it started September 2nd. It started September 2nd, and it goes through December the 10th. And every guest that I have on in that 12-week period, at the end of the 12-week period, is going to be giving away a free gift for everyone who purchases a copy of Emotional Bailout. So keep that in mind and listen to the show. You're going to get some valuable tips and information on how to create your post-recession comeback plan for the new year. If you didn't live by design in 2009, then you can start again in 2010.
That's
right. We're going to give you the resources to do that. So we are in the midst of that 12-week series on my radio show, and it's every Wednesday, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Good. So this evening, you guys, you can catch that this evening at 6 p.m. Oh, I can't believe, Kathy. I think the next time you come back, I think we have to do 2 hours. Because we only have 7 minutes, and I'm sure we had a lot more good stuff to talk about.
But time goes so fast when we are having fun.
I just want to thank you for so eloquently investing in my listeners and myself today. I thank you, and I pray you continued success. So if you would just summarize our conversation, you have 4 minutes, please.
Sure. Yes, everything we talked about, my radio show, Living by Design, I stepped out on faith, and I spent 28 years in a career that was designed by someone else, not me. But I spent the time there, and I allowed someone else to design that for me. But when you allow someone else to design your life because you don't know what your purpose is, that's not a good way to live. I mean, that's kind of a miserable way to live. So you must understand who you are and do a thorough self-assessment to figure out what your purpose is, and that out of that will come your goals. And when you write your goals down and assign a timeline to them, you can achieve just about anything you want to accomplish in your life. And use your resources. Daphne is here. I'm here. I gave my contact information. Reach out. Be a lifelong learner. Reach out and continue to go and grow, and you will have everything you want in your life.
That's right. You know, you are listening to Mrs. Kathy Holloway Hill, and she just shared her story with you. And if Kathy can do it, so can you. You know, align yourself with the people who are making things happen. As my friend and mentor, Dr. Miles Monroe, says, that the graveyard is the richest place on this planet. And we don't want you to leave this earth with your music unplayed. So use what Kathy have said to you this morning. Use what Master Chef Miles has said to you in the first episode. And modify your life. Design, redesign your life. Yes, you didn't do it this year. You still have, what, three more months remaining, maybe two more months? Three remaining for the end of this year. You can start wherever you are, as Chris Gardner said. Begin where you are. You know, you have to make it happen for you. Don't listen to what others are saying. There are a lot of resources there. One final word for you, Kathy, or one final statement.
I absolutely want everyone to have a fabulous 2010. Your life is in your hands. Everything that you design is within your grasp and your reach, and it's all right there for you to just reach out and grab it.
All right. You've heard it. You can get all the resource you want. I mean, it is at your fingertips. I mean, with the internet, you, even if you don't have a computer at home, go to the library. There are internet cafes all over the place. You can make it happen for you. Kathy, I would love to have you back on the show.
I would love to come back. Thank you so much for having me today. You have been wonderful, Daphne. Your listeners are great. I hope everyone accomplishes whatever they have in their toolkit for 2010. And whatever way I can help, please let me know.
Okay, thank you so much. I'll be listening to your show this evening before I go. I think I can listen for half an hour or something because my group starts at 6:30. So I continue, and I'll catch them on the blog. I look forward to working with you. And, you know, let me know if there's any way I can add value to the things that you are doing, Kathy. You are a magnificent role model for women and also men as well, because a lot of times they, too, they have these big egos and they are fearful to step out and follow their heart. But step out and do it. Go out there and follow your destiny. Don't let anyone tell you what your destiny is, because you can feel it in your heart. And look for the resource to support you. We thank you for joining us this morning. You know that you do not have to settle for mediocrity, because you have the ability to create excellence. Stay blessed and follow your destiny. Thank you, Kathy, and have a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Daphne.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? And the plan you had for me.
you to grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me, and directing me, hallelujah, to my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord, thank you for showing me, hallelujah, and directing me. Speak to it, my destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it, hallelujah, to my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this name. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this name. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. Then I know what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.